Because Jan wants to know, what's the afterlife like for those who don't believe in one?
Ah,
What's
well, okay. First, I'd say, in my opinion, that might be a real advantage to be someone who doesn't believe there is one. Because what very often happens is a person who believes that there's no such thing as an afterlife. When you die, it's like someone turns out the switch and you're out. You're in some sort of totally unconscious state. Well, for those who believe that, what very often happens is they die and they're standing in the room where they died. Maybe it's in a hospital room where they died or a hospice. They're standing in the room and they're looking at their own body laying on the bed, and they're looking at all their grieving relatives who were there in a hospice holding vigil waiting for you to die. And you suddenly realize that you died and that you're seeing all of this. That you're aware of all these people. And that's not supposed to be possible. And oftentimes, it's that sort of shock to a person's beliefs that starts to make them think, now, wait a minute. I was absolutely certain that after I died, I was going to be totally unconscious, but it doesn't appear to be that way. It appears to be something different than that. Such a person probably doesn't have very many strong religiously based beliefs, if they've sort of given up on religion or never belonged to one. And so, in some ways, there can be some advantage for some. At least that's my opinion. It makes it far easier for what I call a helper, a person who lives probably in this Focus 27 place we talked about, who regularly does retrievals. It's maybe easier for such a helper to sort of walk into the scene and be seen by the person who just died and believed there was nothing, and have the helper walk up to them and strike up a conversation with them. And describe that, ask them, what's going on and what are you doing, and would you like to go to another place? I can take you to another place if you'd like to check out some other things that maybe you used to not believe in. Of course, there's always the possibility that, sort of like the woman who believed that when she died, she would go to sleep forever. There's always the possibility that a person will sort of enter into something like a sleep state, and they may perceive that as a state in which they are asleep and dreaming, or they may perceive that as a state in which they are asleep and not dreaming, which is about as close to nowhere as I could imagine. And such a person may, for some length of time, a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, a thousand years, whatever it takes, for such a person who enters into a state in which they're sort of in a state of being asleep and not aware of dreaming, that person may remain stuck in that state until one of these helpers manages to find a way to get through to them, to find a way to, in essence, join into their dream that they're not aware of, get their attention, and then assist them in waking up and moving on to a better place, which is, that's the art of
Yeah,
retrieval.
because I just thought you mentioned retrievals a couple of times, but we haven't really explained what that is.
And if you want to chat about that for a moment, I'd
Yeah,
be
maybe you
happy
should
to.
just explain that.
A little thumbnail
Yeah.
pitch. Well, I think in the in what you might call a natural death, when someone dies in a sort of a natural way with without any extenuating circumstances. Typically, what happens is that as they shift their consciousness from physical reality to this non-physical reality that we call the afterlife, typically what happens is they will encounter someone they know who has died before them. It could be a relative or a friend, grandparents, parents. It could be a pet. But typically they will encounter someone who has died before them that they will recognize. And when that happens, the natural thing to do is say something like, "Well, gosh, Joe, you died about 10 years ago. What are you doing here?" And Joe might say, well, Bruce, do you understand what's happened?" And I might say, "Well, yes, I see my body laying there on the bed and everybody's leaving and my skin's pretty white. I think I just died." And Joe might say, "Well, yes, Bruce, that's what's happened. You've died. And I've come here to help escort you to a better place in the afterlife. So if you'd just like to come along with me, I'll take you to a better place." And in a normal, natural dying process, that's a retrieval. It's a situation in which someone from that side, someone from this afterlife area who lives there and maybe knows you, will come to you and get your attention so that they can communicate with you and then offer to assist you in going to wherever you'd like to go or to a better place to see what that's like. And in such a case, it's completely your choice, but you might choose to say something like, "Well, you know, okay, I'll go along. I might want to come back here again, but I'll go along for now." And that person will then lead you or lead me to maybe this place we call Focus 27, and maybe I'll then meet more of my friends and relatives and pets or whatever who've predeceased me, who've died before me. And I've made a nice, easy, smooth transition from living in the physical world to living in a pretty good place, in my opinion, in our afterlife. But there are other forms of retrieval. Sometimes, by virtue of the circumstances of a person's death, they may be a little confused as to what happened. For example, there was a woman who accidentally stepped off a curb while waiting for a bus, accidentally stepped off a curb and fell into rush hour traffic, and she was hit by a car and killed. And it happened so quickly that she didn't realize she had died. She just sort of jumped back up onto the sidewalk, not realizing that she was now in a non-physical body, because it looked the same as it did before she died, dressed the same, felt the same. It just sort of happened so fast she didn't realize she died. And in fact, when she tried to communicate with other people who were at the bus stop, she realized they were all screaming and had these frightened looks on their faces, and she couldn't figure out what that was about. But everybody she talked to just seemed to ignore her like she wasn't there. Well, that woman who died suddenly and didn't realize it was what we call a ghost. She was someone who, because it happened so fast and she didn't realize she had died, she thought she was still alive. And at first she thought that when she tried to talk to people, they were just ignoring her, that for some reason they didn't want to talk to her. And after a period of time, she just stopped even trying to communicate with people and just went back to waiting for her bus. She died, I think, somewhere in the middle 1930s in a big city here in the States. And in a workshop, I believe it was in New Hampshire, here in the States, someone who was taking the workshop and was learning to be a retriever played the part of a friend or relative, played the part of the retriever. The woman who was a retriever used a simple process in which she approached the woman waiting at the bus stop in a way that made it easy for the woman there to perceive her and started a conversation with her. and explained, didn't, well, at that point, didn't really explain that she had died, just started a conversation with her and talked to her about what she was doing and learned that she was waiting for a bus, and the retrieving person discovered what city she was in, the woman's name, a lot of detailed information in that conversation. And then as she stood there, she used the next step in the process, which is to invite a helper from Focus 27 into the scene to make contact with this woman. And there's a whole long story about why the woman couldn't do that on her own, but we won't go into it at the moment. But essentially, at that point, one of the helpers came into the scene, and the retriever introduced the woman who had died to the helper. And the helper used a ruse. He pretended to be someone from the bus company who had been sent with a car to take her wherever she wanted to go. And by the time the story finished, the woman who had died was had an encounter with her own grandparents who had died long before her. And it was at that point she realized she had died and she had been retrieved. She had been taken to a better place.
Okay, so that's a way to get people moving on in the afterlife.
A way to get people moved from being stuck in a place where she had been waiting at that bus stop, at least in Earth time, for probably 60 years, at least. She didn't realize it was that long, but she'd been stuck there for 60 years waiting for a bus. And now she had been retrieved, and she was in a place with her grandparents, and she was able to then begin to progress and do whatever comes next. There are lots and lots and lots of situations in which people come stuck. And it's one of the things that we learn in the workshop is a number of techniques that you can use to approach such a person and to make contact with them and join into a conversation with them and then help them move to a better place with the assistance of a helper. And each time we do that, we learn a little bit more. Sometimes we get information from the deceased person that we can verify. I just had a recent case in a workshop in Japan where in an exercise, a woman encountered a fighter pilot, a Japanese fighter pilot who died in late in World War II. And he had been stuck. He had been stuck since just before the end of World War II. She was able to get his name and the city, the village he was born in and where he lived and grew up and the details of information that she had absolutely no other way of knowing that she later was able to verify using this wonderful modern tool called Google, where she did a Google search on the man's name and found him and found that all the information she had received was accurate. And he's no longer stuck in a situation in which the last thing he did was he was making a diving attack in his fighter plane on an American ship off the island of Okinawa. And an American fighter pilot evidently got behind him and blew him out of the sky. And he died so quickly that he was just stuck in that. He was stuck at the point just before he died. So he was, in his mind, he was still diving on the American ship making the attack. And he had been doing that since probably early 1945.
Good.
So retrieval, for me, is one of the biggest reasons I teach workshops. There are many... Certainly not all. I don't know what percentage, but there are many of our fellow human beings who've gotten themselves stuck, and for reasons that you discover by reading my books or talking to me or attending a workshop, they stay stuck, and till one of us is there to provide some assistance. Yeah.
It's good work. Good.